Today is the 26th day of the month of October. I'm Brian. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. And here we are at the threshold, stepping into a brand new, shiny, sparkly week. And not too many more of these, but enough to pay attention. This is the last time that we will encounter a brand new, shiny, sparkly week in the month of October, and the 20th year of going through the Bible together. And so this time next week, we'll be in a new month. Can't believe it, we'll be in the 11th month. So we have most of this week to move through. And so, well, we pay attention to the rhythm of it. We reflect on last week and pay attention to our own lives and our own choices and where those roads led us. And we look forward into this week, knowing that we've just gotten a reset. Plenty of consequences may be carrying over into this week, good or evil or challenging. How we navigate this week will be how some of that gets resolved, and how we will begin to walk a path that is narrow and leads to life. Because that doesn't just happen. And we might think that we're walking it because we believe, but that doesn't just happen. We actually have to walk it. We have to actually walk that path. The one that does not hide. The one that is not false. The one that is true with nothing to hide. That is the path to freedom. That is the path to life. And all of that will play out if we're paying attention in our lives this week. And so, welcome to a brand new, shiny, sparkly week. I am grateful that one of the first things that we can do is gather here in a safe place, a place to lay our burdens down, a place to exhale and inhale, a place to allow the scriptures to come and wash into our lives and bring to us what we need. So, we will read from the updated version of the New Revised Standard Version this week. We're continuing our journey through Jeremiah. We finished 2 Timothy yesterday, so that brings us to the third of the pastoral epistles of Paul, called Titus. And we'll be sure to talk about that when we get there. But first, Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 23 through 50, verse 46. Concerning Damascus, Hamath and Arpad are confounded, for they have heard bad news. They melt in fear. They are troubled like the sea that cannot be quiet. Damascus has become feeble. She turned to flee, and panic seized her. Anguish and pangs seized her, as of a woman in labor. How is the famous city not forsaken, the town of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in her squares, and all her soldiers shall be destroyed on that day, says the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire at the wall of Damascus, and it shall devour the strongholds of Ben-Hadad. Concerning Kedar and the kingdoms of Hazor, that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon defeated, thus says the Lord, rise up, advance against Kedar. Destroy the people of the east. They take their tents and their flocks, their curtains and all their goods. They carry off their camels for themselves, and a cry shall go up. Terror is all around. Flee. Wander far away. Hide in deep places, O inhabitants of Hazor, says the Lord. For King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has made a plan against you and formed a purpose against you. Rise up. Advance against a nation at ease that lives secure, says the Lord, that has no gates or bars, that lives alone. Their camels shall become plunder, their herds of cattle a spoil. I will scatter to every wind those who have shaved temples, and I will bring calamity against them from every side, says the Lord. Hazor shall become a lair of jackals, an everlasting waste. No one shall live there, nor shall anyone settle in it. The word of the Lord that came to the prophet Jeremiah concerning Elam at the beginning of the reign of King Zedekiah of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am going to break the bow of Elam, the mainstay of their might, and I will bring upon Elam the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and I will scatter them to all these winds, and there shall be no nation to which the exiles from Elam shall not come. I will terrify Elam before their enemies and before those who seek their life. I will bring disaster upon them, my fierce anger, says the Lord. I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them, and I will set my throne in Elam and destroy their king and officials, says the Lord. But in the latter days, I will restore the fortunes of Elam, says the Lord. The word that the Lord spoke concerning Babylon, concerning the land of the Chaldeans, by the prophet Jeremiah. Declare among the nations and proclaim. Set up a banner and proclaim. Do not conceal it. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel is put to shame. Moradak is dismayed. Her images are put to shame. Her idols are dismayed. For out of the north a nation has come up against her. It shall make her land a desolation, and no one shall live in it. Both humans and animals shall flee away. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the people of Israel shall come, they and the people of Judah together. They shall come weeping as they seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with faces turned toward it, and they shall come and join themselves to the Lord by an everlasting covenant that will never be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they have gone. They have forgotten their fold. All who found them have devoured them, and their enemies have said, we are not guilty because they have sinned against the Lord, the true pasture, the Lord, the hope of their ancestors. Flee from Babylon and go out of the land of the Chaldeans and be like male goats leading the flock. For I am going to stir up and bring against Babylon a company of great nations from the land of the north, and they shall array themselves against her. From there she shall be taken. Their arrows are like the arrows of a skilled warrior who does not return empty-handed. Chaldea shall be plundered. All who plunder her shall be sated, says the Lord. Though you rejoice, though you exult, O plunderers of my heritage, though you frisk about like a heifer on the grass and neigh like stallions, your mother shall be utterly shamed. and she who bore you shall be disgraced. She shall be the last of the nations, a wilderness, dry land, and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, she shall not be inhabited, but shall be an utter desolation. Everyone who passes by Babylon shall be appalled and hiss because of all her wounds. Take up your positions around Babylon, all you who bend the bow. Shoot at her. Spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Raise a shout against her from all sides. She has surrendered. Her bulwarks have fallen. Her walls are thrown down. For this is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her. Do to her as she has done. Cut off from Babylon the sower and the wielder of the sickle in time of harvest, because of the destroying sword. All of them shall return to their own people, and all of them shall flee to their own land. Israel is a hunted sheep driven away by lions. First, the king of Assyria devoured it, and now at the end of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has gnawed its bones. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I am going to punish the king of Babylon and his land as I punished the king of Assyria. I will restore Israel to its pasture, and it shall feed on Carmel and in Bashan, and on the hills of Ephraim, and in Gilead its hunger shall be satisfied. In those days, and at that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and none shall be found, for I will pardon the remnant that I have spared. Go up to the land of Marathaim. Go up against her and attack the inhabitants of Pekod, and utterly destroy the last of them, says the Lord. Do all that I have commanded you. The noise of battle is in the land, and great destruction. How the hammer of the whole earth is cut down and broken. How Babylon has become a horror among the nations. I set a snare for you, and you were caught, O Babylon, but you did not know it. You were discovered and seized because you challenged the Lord. The Lord has opened his armory and brought out the weapons of his wrath. For the Lord God of hosts has a task in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from every quarter. Open her granaries, pile her up like heaps of grain, and destroy her utterly. Let nothing be left of her. Kill all her bulls. Let them go down to the slaughter. Alas for them, their day has come, the time of their punishment. Listen, fugitives and refugees from the land of Babylon are coming to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, vengeance for his temple. Summon archers against Babylon, all who bend the bow, and camp all around her. Let no one escape. Repay her according to her deeds, just as she has done. Do to her, for she has arrogantly defied the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Therefore her young men shall fall in her squares, and all her soldiers shall be destroyed on that day, says the Lord. I am against you, O arrogant one, says the Lord God of hosts, for your day has come, the time when I will punish you. The arrogant one shall stumble and fall, with no one to raise him up, and I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it will devour everything around him, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the people of Israel are oppressed, and so also are the people of Judah. All their captors have held them fast and refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will surely plead their cause that he may give rest to the earth, but unrest to the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword against the Chaldeans, says the Lord, and against the inhabitants of Babylon, and against her officials and her sages. A sword against the diviners, so that they may become fools. A sword against her warriors, so that they may be dismayed. A sword against her horses and against her chariots, and against all the foreign troops in her midst, so that they may become women. A sword against her treasures, that they may be plundered. A drought against her waters, that they may be dried up. For it is a land of images, and they go mad over idols. Therefore, wild animals shall live with hyenas in Babylon, and ostriches shall inhabit her. She shall never again be peopled or inhabited for all generations. As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, says the Lord, so no one shall live there, nor shall anyone settle in her. Look, a people is coming from the north. A mighty nation and many kings are stirring from the farthest parts of the earth. They wield bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. The sound of them is like the roaring sea. They ride upon horses, set in array as a warrior for battle, against you, O daughter Babylon. The king of Babylon heard news of them, and his hands fell helpless. Anguish seized him, pain like that of a woman in labor. Like a lion coming up from the thickets of the Jordan to a perennial pasture, I will suddenly chase them away from her, and I will appoint over her whomever I choose. For who is like me? Who can summon me? Who is the shepherd who can stand before me? Therefore, hear the plan that the Lord has made against Babylon, and the purposes that he has formed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the little ones of the flock shall be dragged away. Surely the fold shall be appalled at their fate. At the sound of the capture of Babylon, the earth shall tremble, and a cry shall be heard among the nations. Okay, so as we were saying at the beginning, we've gone through 1st and 2nd Timothy. And that brings us to Titus. And those three letters are from the Apostle Paul, and they are personal letters. They weren't letters sent to churches to be read, like in church, and then copied and passed around to other churches. These are called the pastoral epistles. Letters to Timothy and Titus, two leaders, pastors, that Paul personally raised up. And so this is the final one of those. Now, Titus was an early convert through the Apostle Paul's ministry. And from that point on, he was a part of the ministry going forward. He was trusted enough to accompany Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem to attend the Jerusalem Council that we read about in the book of Acts. This first council was a very weighty decision about who gets to be in. Is this a Jewish, Hebrew-only faith in Jesus, or are Gentiles allowed to be in it as well? And so Titus accompanied Paul and Barnabas to this council. And Titus was a Gentile at this Jewish council. And His presence was instrumental in the outcome. Ironically, Titus isn't mentioned in the book of Acts. We only know him through Paul's letters. So, the most likely scenario for this letter is that Paul was released from his first imprisonment in Rome, and then Titus accompanied Paul on some more travel, some more missionary work, to the island of Crete to share the good news there. And the message of Jesus apparently had never been introduced at all to the Cretans, who were notoriously carnal, fleshly people. And so when Paul preached this gospel, new faith began to spring up, and Paul left Titus there on the island of Crete to form leadership among the churches and the communities that were springing up to navigate this cultural mayhem already happening among the believers. And Titus was suited for this work. Paul had sent him as an ambassador, carrying several of his letters into really complicated situations, and this was a complicated situation. So it seems as if after Paul departed and left Titus on the island of Crete, this letter was sent back roughly around the same time that he wrote his personal letter to Timothy, the one that we know as 1 Timothy. And this letter was intended to encourage Titus, but also to be something in writing, like something tangible, to give him apostolic authority. So, in other words, Titus, through this letter, was authorized to act in Paul's name and doing the work of organizing these newly formed communities on the island of Crete. And in doing this, Titus would need to appoint pastors and deacons. And so Paul gives criteria for those who are seeking that kind of ministry, the same way that he did in 1 Timothy. But this is in writing. And so Timothy can refer to this. Everybody can see this. Titus is an intimate look at what a spiritual father gave to his spiritual son, who was commissioned to do a really big and difficult job in a pretty short amount of time. But like we said, Titus had been in these situations and been faithful and had been successful in whatever Paul had sent him to do. And so Paul wants Titus to be empowered and have confidence in what he is doing. And again, like with 1 Timothy, most organized denominations in the Christian faith consult this letter of Titus for incorporation into their own ordination processes. So it's a treasured letter for that, and for those who are in spiritual leadership, as well as giving insight into how the early church formed and how it is something that we are a part of today. So, with that, we begin. Titus, chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that is in accordance with godliness and the hope of eternal life that God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. In due time, He revealed His word through the proclamation with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. To Titus, my true child in the faith we share, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. I left you behind in Crete for this reason, so that you should put in order what remained to be done and should appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Someone who is blameless, married only once, whose children are believers, not accused of debauchery, and not rebellious. For a bishop, as God's steward, must be blameless. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered, or addicted to wine, or violent or greedy for gain, but he must be hospitable, a lover of goodness, self-controlled, upright, devout, and restrained, holding tightly to the trustworthy word of the teaching, so that he may be able both to exhort with sound instruction and to refute those who contradict it. There are also many rebellious people, idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for sordid gain what it is not right to teach. It was one of them, their very own prophet, who said, "Cretans are always liars, vicious brutes, lazy gluttons." That testimony is true. For this reason, rebuke them sharply, so that they may become sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths or to commandments of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the corrupt and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Their very minds and consciences are corrupted. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their actions. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Psalm 97 and 98. The glory of God's reign. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. All servants of images are put to shame, those who make their boast in worthless idols. All gods bow down before him. Zion hears and is glad, and the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He guards the lives of his faithful. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Praise the Judge of the world, a psalm. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea soar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Proverbs 26:13-16. The lazy person says, "There is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets." As a door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy person in bed. The lazy person buries a hand in the dish and is too tired to bring it back to the mouth. The lazy person is wiser in self-esteem than seven who can answer discreetly. Father, we thank you for your word and for a brand new, shiny, sparkly week that we are entering into. So we continue the journey forward. And we thank you for bringing us into the letter to Titus. And we open our hearts to that and to all that's contained in it. And as we continue forward to the conclusion of the book of Jeremiah, like we pray every day, Holy Spirit, who are we without you? And how will we know where to go without your guidance? And so lead us into all truth. Make us aware of ourselves, that we are paying attention to the path that we are walking as we seek your will in our lives. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Bart in Kentucky, and I am lifting up my nephew, Jake, who's had headaches for a month. They feel like sinus, but they don't really know what's going on, and he's going in for some additional scans. He is a wonderful young man, and I covet your prayers for him. Thank you. I'm also lifting up a friend of ours named C, and she has cirrhosis of the liver. Believe it's from alcohol abuse. Her husband is ill with cancer, and it's a very rough time for the two of them. I lift up C to you and ask for your prayer. Lord, please help these two. And Lord, please watch over the orphans in Haiti with Susie from Colorado, who is caring for them. God bless her. Lord, and I'm not sure why all the suffering and evil on that half of the island that is Haiti, but we ask for your intervention. At least, Lord, please help the little ones who can't fend for themselves. Lord, we lift these people up to you. Please help. And we thank you in advance for your response. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. This is Bart from Kentucky, and I'm walking in the light. Have a good day, everybody.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. It is Dr. John from Jordan, New York. Just wanted to update you on Pastor Brad. I thank you so much for all of your prayers for him. I spoke with him this past Sunday. His 6-centimeter tumor metastasis that was in his liver is down to 1 centimeter. and they're going to be able to decrease the chemotherapy, which he says, quote, is kicking my butt, end quote. So he's very thankful to be able to decrease a little bit on the chemotherapy. On sadder notes, Christy from Kentucky, my sister, I am so sorry for the loss of your beloved Tim. Just what a gift he was to you. And we thank God for all the time that you had with him. And we thank God that Tim is no longer in pain and that everything works now in heaven. So, but you have my condolences, and hook me up on Facebook if you need to talk. Kingdom Seeker Daniel, you broke my heart. Your cry of anguish I'm so sorry for you, brother. That is beyond what we should have to endure. Our prayers go with you through this season of grief. And just know that we will walk with you. We will sit with you. Whatever you need, brother. All right. Dr. John from Jordan signing off.
Hello, everyone. I am so privileged to be a first-time caller. I've been listening to Bible study, daily audio Bible, that is, since July of 23. And I praise the Lord that I have connection with such a dedicated, very definitive person as Brian and his dear wife and son. My name that I want to use is Kim's dad from British Columbia. And I thank the Lord that he is saturating me with his word through Brian. And also now this phenomenal trip that we all are sharing with them through Greece and other parts of that area. I thank the Lord for the fact that I discovered this back in 23. It was just after my prostate cancer. And praise the Lord, that has been cleared up and it's gone. But I just heard a request from a lady in England whose son, 17 years old, has leukemia. And I do pray for him, that the Lord would heal his body and help him to recognize that Jesus is the great healer. I commit all this to the Lord Jesus. And thank you, everyone. And sorry for my mixed up words at this first time caller. But I hope to call again someday.
Hey, my DAB community. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels. It is October 22nd, and I'm calling to lift up our sister, Susie, in Colorado, regarding the orphanage in Haiti and the orphans that are there, these young children, that their lives are at risk. There's gangs that are entering the city and are killing everyone, as per Susie. And what she's heard and what she's saying, and she said she is afraid, but yet she knows God is for orphans. And yes, we stand on that. So let us go before our beautiful Father's throne of grace. Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy beautiful name, Lord of heaven's armies, Father God. No one, no force can stand against you, Father God. You are sovereign, and we know your word says that you love the orphans, Father, and the widows. Lord God, we lift up these orphans to you in Haiti, Father. We ask safe passage for them, safe passage to the next town where they can be safe, Father God. It's only even a few hours away, or maybe even an hour away. Lord, we ask that you spare their lives for your glory, Father God. Please, in the name of Jesus Christ, please hear our cries, our pleas, and our petitions, and allow Susie and the rest of the staff there to, Lord God, give them strength, give them courage at this season, give them that faith, that mustard seed of faith that's all that required, that grows so strong in them, Lord God, that they would know and believe and trust in every ember and every bone in their body that you will prevail, your will prevail, and these orphans will be saved. We ask this and plead this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. To him be the glory. Amen.